start of the Turtle YMCA, the fact that Daddy Dogan let Curtis and take a day off, which was unheard of at that time. He was a milk clothing man.
Yeah.
He gave him one day off of the week if he would meet with a bunch of us young boys and start a YMCA group. And that's how it got started. Eventually, as we grew up and the Villas got involved, then it became the Young People's Group.
And I
background for that. But Roy Neiman and Fanny Neiman were the solely responsible for all of it.
Yes, they were.
For the success of it.
Yes.
And they all rode ponies.
For the first meeting.
Yeah, first meeting.
And somebody says they have a picture.
Yes.
I have a picture, but I couldn't find it.
Well, when you find it. I would very much like to make a copy of it. I do have a chapter on that, and I've had help from Howard Milner and from Fritz and from Phil Holmes, and also my dad, because he started, he was sort of the root of it in that when he came back from France, he found Merle Holmbeck was being a lone scout. And Dad had had a scout troop over there in France. I'll turn this. Okay. Well, let me quick finish the sentence, which is that then it got to be too much for Dad. He was having his own children and working and so forth, and so he turned it over to Roy, and Roy, at that point, I think J.A. Craig said, "Let's not make it scouts. Let's make it Y." And then that was when the thing really blossomed.
Chet
with
Welch.
Chet Welch was in on that.
Yeah, he was the county secretary.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We had a Bible class at every meeting.
A Bible class at every meeting. Okay. Well, what were you going to say, Esther?
I was going to ask.
Here's Esther.
I was talking about this at supper, dinner, whatever, last night. What was Nettie Moore's husband's given name?
Frank?
Was it?
Nettie Moore's husband was Frank.
Frank.
Was it Frank? Okay.
His brother was Fred.
What?
He had brother Fred.
Are these the Moores that lived down there on the corner of the State Line Road and the road up to here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Frank was so handsome? The boy.
The generation of Frank.
The younger, the one that was a little older than me.
He was Gunderson's age. Yeah.
He was handsome.
He was Billy Beadle's age, and Billy Beadle was the one I was in love with, but Frank was...
Elaine and Audrey and Bill and Frank. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't come up.
Bill was the younger brother, wasn't he?
And he was our age.
He was our age, right.
And Frank has passed away just this past year.
Frank did?
Yes.
Oh.
And Bill is down in Arizona. Yeah. He has a big store down there. Elaine
never goes easy.
Elaine is... up by Milwaukee someplace. Her husband died. He married Fritz Ratzel.
Yeah. And Odd's husband died.
Yeah, Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because he's a cousin of Don.
He was gone several years before Leo.
Yeah.
Did Bill sell shoes in his store?
He had some boutique.
He went into clothing, I think.
Ladies.
He was in clothing. Yeah. In for Stanton.
Beth and Matt have been there.
Jackie?
Yes?
Of course, my memory is horrible, but one thing pops into my mind. A little quirk that you ought to include about Roy Neiman. He used to take us to sporting events. He'd take along a book to read because he'd sit in the stands and read his book because he wasn't the least bit interested in baseball, football, or whatever it was, but yet he made sure that we all got there to go to those games.
Down to the Cup again, Cubs and the Sox game. And the other thing, too. Yeah, and then the other thing too, there are some of you guys who bring field glasses. And he'd love to sit there and watch all these people in their apartments over on the other side. He'd watch them as the baseball game.
I meet boys. by this little girl.
What about the big boys?
How they could hit a softball. I remember over there at the Y cabin when they have their picnics and their then that ball game afterwards. Oh, and that's how I remember Elgiva's husband, Laurel. He could hit a ball farther than any living person on this earth. I swear he could. And Frank Moore and Buell, oh.
Well, they all went and played ball afterwards, and us little kids were too little to play.
Yeah, but boy, it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch, yeah.
I remember when we went to Chicago to see the Cubs at a baseball game, and I think that Joe Louis was fighting, was it Schmeling? And there was no radio in the car, and so he stopped at Belvedere, and they had a radio outside, and we all got out of the car to listen to the fight. I believe it was Louis and Schmeling, but I don't know.
Huh.
Well, yeah, you know, talking about the Hawaii church Sundays, and they, but in the fall, we used to get playing football. And I'd be in the line, and my favorite spot was opposite Byron. And Byron would get so mad at me, and he'd come and charge in, and all I'd do is get down my hands and knees in front of me, in front of him, and he'd fall over me. Oh, he used to get mad. I said, well, all I'm doing is blocking you. But I locked him, the opposite Byron guy, I got his goat.
Nobody's talked about our wonderful
one thing
girls.
About Byron, he could move the size.
That's right.
Okay.
The girls in our white uniforms and the green.
This is Bob.
My old animals.
Then my old animals manages.
Yep. And we had it, we traveled in a truck. Was that Lyle's truck?
Yep.
The back of the truck.
Lyle who?
Daniels.
Lyle Daniels.
He had that fruit market.
Fruit stand.
Yeah, they'll stand around Milwaukee Road.
And we went and played different teams.
We played at Broadhead, and we never won a game.
I can hit him a mile, but I'd only get to second base on a home run because I couldn't run fast enough.
Somewhere I've got a picture of Hazel Maxworthy and Agnes Meach in their black bloomers.
I have a picture of Mother
and Agnes.
Somewhere.
Mother used to wear bloomers.
Yeah, they did.
We just visited Charlie Gardner, who's my cousin. Some of you will have known Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
And he remembered when my mother and you used to do the Indian wrestle.
Yeah.
Okay, this is
some kind of a gathering.
You is
Jean
Davis.
That after the home ec club was over and the shy people went home, then out would come the overall home team. Jean and my mother, you know what the Indian man said?
Well, your mom could roll everybody.
Was that when you lie at the,
you
put your legs up and and then you try to flip the other person?
Heads in opposite directions.
Yeah.
I had some students do that in class one night. We were having kids play, and I was showing them, you know, the arm wrestling and the thumb wrestling, and then they said, oh, let's show you this one. And then they lay down and whoom, flipped one person right over her head.
I don't remember that your mother did it.
No,
but
Sally
Jean and my mother did it.
And one time we were papering Sally's living room, I remember, and we got to talking about this, and, well, I can flip you, or no, I can do it better than that. Well, we decided, well, as soon as we get that strip of paper on, we're going to prove it. So we just quit. My mother, when I got into the papering, mother was, she hung the paper. Sally did the papering.
Pasting,
I mean. And Mom would hang it. Well, then my mother got, I came into the picture after I got married. So then my mother would boss, Sally would paste, and I'd do the hanging. And so we were here with a strip of paper up in the ceiling, Sally and I on a plane, and we got to talking about it. Well, as soon as we get this strip on, and of course the darn things were so crooked, we'd have to take them down 100 times. So we did. We got down right in the middle of the floor, and we had dresses on. We didn't care. We were the only ones around. We laid down on the floor, and we do the thing. And I'll be darned, I knew I could flip her, but she flipped me right back over on that thing again. She was a champion. Then we got back up and started papering again.
We really did have a remarkable set of parents. Not all of us did.
And we had so much fun.
And your mother would stand on the back porch and pick off the chicken that would rifle.
What?
With a 14 or 10 gauge. It was bigger than the 12.
She had a
12 gauge. She had a bigger one.
She was an excellent child.
That's wonderful.
My mother and Mabel were over at Papering.
This is Pull Pans.
We're papering. Your mother's one of Gilmer and the other. And they'd say, there's a wrinkle there. And Sally always said, I'll hang George's nightshirt there. And to this day, when we paper, if you get a wrinkle, they'll say, get George's nightshirt.
It's wonderful how those things last, isn't it? And the younger ones won't even know the story of George's nightshirt. It'll just be, that's George's nightshirt.
Well, my kids do, because they papered with me, and they know about George's nightshirt.
I just heard what a shot your mother was.
Oh, yes.
My mother?
Your mother.
Oh, yeah. She was the second Eddie over there. But also when she shot the possum in the ash part of the old Rondo furnace, she in the house, basement of the house.
What?
She didn't hear it for 3 weeks after. Mother! She multiplied her Oriental poppies because the old tomcat was chasing her baby chickens raised in a coop with an old hen. And she shot at the tomcat, and she had hundreds of Oriental poppies in that year. That year, she didn't have any. Do you remember that, sis?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what? I've been making all these stories, and the touchstone has to be that they're connected somehow with the Dogan Farm, but we ought to have a turtle book. So that we could have all these stories that aren't necessarily connected with the farm, like your mother shooting the possum. Well, we can collect the stories and then we can start getting them out. I mean, Mrs. Post never finished it. And the thing you need in a book of that sort is the good stories. And these are the good stories.
And one way or another, every one of these people worked with your parents. You know, they were a part of their life.
So this could be a book,
yeah,
couldn't
so
it?
This could be your connection.
Just they all.
They weren't just here and here. But they worked with your parents and knew them and did things together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Daddy would start out the year coming to all the schools and getting everyone to join forces.
Your grandmother almost went to her friend club.
Yeah,
and that was all the most, a lot of the women and children. Everything went to the friendly club and.
Didn't I hear that the Turtle Friendly Club finally quit because it wasn't that friendly? Is that not the story?
I can believe that. I'm estranged, but I can believe
that. That wasn't the story?
They were friendly.
Do you know why the Friendly Club quit, Helen?
Lo and behold, it was
like so many things do. I think they were
friendly.
You hold and separate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they died 50 years ago.
And then it was
the
turtle
land. And then it kind of evolved in the garden club.
Yeah, it may have evolved into the garden club, too.
Uh-huh. But can I add one more?
Oh, yes.
Oh, did it?
Oh, she can have it.
Everyone.
One more thing about my mother.
Oh, I'm happy to hear about your mother.
What a voice she had.
That's what I wanted to bring up. What a beautiful singing voice she had. She and Grandpa Avery. And Miss Gaines played the piano.
Kitty Gaines.
But then my mother was a deadly shot. And we always had sheep. And if anybody's dog was there in the morning, they called my father to ask if mother'd been out hunting in the night. The dog might lie dead in the dooryard if he'd been in with a sheep. I think once that she shot your dog, and my father went out and got a pure red collie puppy, and he was so embarrassed to
I
have
to bring it over to you. I
was
wondering where we got our dog.
Ben Bolivar.
What?
Bolivar was a real collie dog named Bolivar.
I don't know, but Dad had to bring it over because Mother had shot his dog.
Well, the other thing there, too, in the Y, you know, he came over there and know, we had these Y meetings, always had lunch too, but boy, the only place to go for Y meeting was over at the Meeches. Because they always had the big feet.
Mother always had some.
Freddie,
yeah?
Still look at, I mean, to Byron's dying day, and Em and I both look like Mom was a good cook.
Okay. I want to tell a story of my folks. Mother and Dad, Meeches and ours, that land came together. But anyway, Mother was the teacher at Zoe School. Teacher came down, and she lived where Meeches was, but it was Zilly's own place there then. So the mother and our grandpa and grandma Max, or these dogs, ran away and ended up over at Meeches' place. And so Dad said to my dad, Grandpa said to Dad, well, you go over there and get our dog. So he did, and he got over there, and Zilly says, oh, come on in, we got the new school teacher here. Why don't you meet her? So Dad went in and met my mother, and took an eye to her right away, and he got back home, and my grandpa says, where's the dog? I forgot the dog. We never let Dad forget that either.
Do you remember how Grandpa Max said he looked as he drove down the road from town every day, to straight as a ramrod?
We always called him the Yah-Yah Man. He would pick us up if it was stormy, but otherwise you walked. And if he picked you up, no matter what, he'd ask you something, then he'd say, Yah-Yah, Yah-Yah. We'd call him the Yah-Yah Man.
Never turned his...
This was Grandpa Maxworthy?
Grandpa Maxworthy. He drove from Electra.
Did he live up on Harrison Avenue?
He lived on Harrison across Bright School.
Right across Bright School.
Uh-huh.
He drove out to the farm every day. And he had a Model T Ford. Is that the one that had to back up the hill?
Yeah. It was too steep.
No, when the gasoline would get low. But he'd drive out to the farm every day about the time that we kids were going to school. But there he sat, straight as a ramrod, never looking to the right or to the left.
How did he end his life?
Well, we thought he would always be killed right there at Top's Corner where he'd come off there because that curve there. And like you say, he never looked right or left. And so we got the call. I happened to be out to the folks. I got the call that he had been in a car accident. So Mom and Dad and I, we hopped in the car. We thought, sure, we're going to find him there. Because they didn't tell us where he was. And then we got down to Weller's Corner, and we thought he'd be there, and he wasn't. And then we got down where he'd come into town, and he wasn't. And he got killed just a block from home. He was going home. And never looking right or left, and pulled out in front of the garbage truck. And he was killed instantly.
Huh.
And the one time of his driving like this, Bill Weller, you all remember Bill Weller, and he was a wild driver. He took Mother and Mrs. Weller one time someplace, and it had a car with a roof, you know, the boards that went across the roof in it. And he went over a bump and threw those women clear up into the ceiling of that thing with the bang their heads. But he came upon Grandpa, and he never went real fast in the old Ford, of course. And he kept edging up behind Grandpa until he got his bumpers right of him, and then he started going fast. And here's Grandpa going down the road, and Bill Weller pushing him about, I suppose, 40 miles an hour then those days. And Grandpa just going straight down here. And then, and Bill, he thought that was the funniest thing. But you know what?
I can imagine.
Oh. Oh, God. A lot of good times.
Bill used to work for our dad. I don't know how much of the time. But anyhow, I was just a little
No, wait, kid. Bill is...
Weller.
Bill Weller. Okay.
Bill Weller.
Is that Bub Weller's father?
Brother.
Brother. Okay.
Priscilla's dad.
Okay, Priscilla's dad.
Priscilla's
she
dad.
She could have been in your class.
Yeah, Priscilla was, yeah.
But he used to throw me up in the air, and I used to think that was very fun. Do you remember that?
Well, I know he was big and strong.
Oh, yeah. And I was, you know, I was a little kid. Billo. We called him Billo.
Bill's wife, remember her? She was kind of short and heavy set, and she had hair, and she rolled it just like a sheep horn, you know, on each side of her ears. Her ears were all covered up like this, and her hair was just
Priscilla.
Braided on,
no,
covered
Priscilla's
up her ears.
Daughter. What was the wife's name? Bill, and what was Bill's wife's name?
You see, Priscilla's the daughter.
He used to repair my...
Stella.
Stella.
You're right. Stella. Yeah, he could fix almost anything.
Yeah, he fixed my Model A truck. And I remember one time he said, this shouldn't be on the road anymore. And I said, well, golly, you got to fix it good enough for me to drive home. Well, I'll do that.
And how many years did you drive it?
Whole milk the next day.
Didn't they live where Beatles sent them?
Yeah.
Huh? They lived where Beatles.
Yeah.
And Martha Weller lived
in town. No, they lived in town.
So didn't he live there? Didn't he live there?
No, he's a boy.
Now, wait, I need that to get on there, Esther. What did you say?
I said Martha Weller raised those three or four boys. There was Art and Jan.
Margaret. That's my mother's name.
Margaret.
Okay. But she was always my mother.
The four boys as a single parent back in the late 20s and early 30s and did a fantastic job. And they talk about single parents today. They don't know what it was back then.
Well, Nettie Moore was another example of a single parent that raised.
She had four kids, didn't she?
Yeah. And no money.
But she lived with Art, didn't she?
Yeah, and then she works at Firefly.
Yeah, but and she had a widow's pension, I remember that. She still did a good job of raising
her. She was in there, and Art helped her.
Nowadays, they live together, you know. Nettie and Art lived together all those years down there. And you just took it for granted, you know.
My mother and dad didn't go away without us kids very often. We most always went with them. But they used to go with, who are the people that are down there where the disposal plant is now?
Gilmore.
They were going with
them. Yeah, they were, those kids were my age.
Yeah. Well, Marge was...
Lorraine Gilmore was... Yeah. Remember Lorraine Gilmore? She was our age.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, they were... My mother and dad and the Gilmores, Leon and his wife, were going out together. And so we were going over to stay with Nettie. We three kids were going to stay with Nettie. Well, Esther didn't want to go to bed. And we just had a terrible time with her. She wanted to sleep with Art, and Art didn't want to be slept with.
I don't sleep around anymore since all 3 or 4 years old.
Well, okay, talking about sleeping around, I remember when we had the camp up at Williams Bay?
Oh, yeah.
The girls and the guys, you know? I don't know which time, but when the girls was coming up there to the camp, we had that big tent set up, and
that ground was hard too.
And I don't know. It seemed like Helen and some of the older girls said, "Well, Fritz can sleep out here with us," and that's where I ended up sleeping out there with the new girls.
We had a blanket and a pillow, and we were on the hard ground.
Mrs. Weller had kind of a reputation, and I'll tell you what it is by the story. But when I would go over there, I'd go over there and visit with her and so forth. And my mother would say, "Now don't let her pump you." You know what that means?
Yes, I know what it means. But did you know what it meant?
I knew what it meant too. But that was Mrs. Weller. She never said it about Hazel Maxford or anybody. But Mrs. Weller, don't let her pump you.
But when my grandmother letters me to Florida, Mrs. Weller almost adopted me. His mother didn't have anybody in order to help out. And Mrs. Weller was just really, really good for it. She worked in an institution, an insane asylum, and she had scars on her arm where they would jab a fork into her or cut her with a knife or whatever, you know.
Had
a hard life.
Is that institution
still?
Our mother.
What institution?
It was
up
at Reedsburg.
Yeah, Reedsburg.
Our mother was teaching, and where she was teaching, they wouldn't sign a contract with her because she was Catholic. So Dad got a chance to. He got kicked out of the army. He was too skinny, believe it or not. And so he wanted to get married because he had a chance to go farming. So Mrs. Weller said, "Oh, Frances had to get married." And it was 2 years later, and Mother knew she was pregnant. Then Mrs. Weller would say, "What a shame. Frances wants kids and she can't have any." Mother used to tell that story so much.
What was her first name, Mrs. Weller?
Margaret.
I remember her saying she was a good friend of some of the dressers. And she said, I like to work in a sales office because the smartest people are there.
Mr. Weller, now Eppa's gone, yeah, Esther.
What?
Now, Mr. Weller died, as I understand it, in an automobile accident on the road on that bridge down in the corner right south of your place.
There were a lot of people who went off there.
He went off there.
Yeah, a lot of people went off,
I used to see how fast I could go around that corner.
It was fun doing that.
It was gravel.
Yeah.
We went down there a few times on the bobsled. Bobsled. Oh. Tied up at the top of the hill and go down.
Well, at one time, Bob and Russ, everything was ice. And they got their ice skates and went skating. Met Jean over at somebody's school, hooked on the back of her car, and she brought them back. And they run, changed their clothes, and away they went to school.
Did I do that? Do you remember swimming behind the Gunderson's house?
Oh, yeah.
In the nude. We were really dangerous. Down in the creek down there, we were really something. We'd go down and we'd tape off our swimming suits. Kind of peek over the bank to see if anybody was watching. I don't know whether we were hoping they were or hoping they weren't.
Well, she and Davis can tell a whole bunch of stories about Russ, Bob, and Byron.
Yeah.
About what? Russ, Bob, and Byron.
Oh, are they wrong?
Not really.
I don't know. Russell, you tell it.
Exactly.
I don't remember.
He's not going to tell on himself, huh?
Russell, we had him. Bobby.
Let's see, we had Byron and Russell. Who else, Russ? Don McLaughlin, most some of the time, anyway. Didn't I have you, Bob? Byron. Byron and Russell and Don and the Toff girls and the Toff girls.
You sat on a milk can.
I had a car that had a...
driving that was... Jean used to drive to school, high school. Pick Byron and I out. Byron always wanted to sit on the outside. Jean's driving, so guess what? I get stuck in the middle.
That's why he's so skinny.
It's a hand shift vehicle. So she gets up to a stop sign, you know, I just kind of ease that gear shift up into neutral. She stops on the gas, you know, engine roars, nothing happens. And you hear the comments Jean has to make about something like that.
It wasn't one stop sign. We get to the next corner, and then they say, oh, there's so-and-so. So I'd be looking over there, and then he put that thing out of gear.
Why did you let somebody sit back?
We had the Torps in the back seat. Tell me about it.
Do I know the Toffs?
There were three of them. Two of them in one family and one in another.
Edith started with us. It was June and Alice. Edith and Byron and Russ and myself were the four first graders.
No, I think down back at the Top Girls, we were really rude.
Yes, you were.
They were the kind of people that could have brought a shotgun and taken care of it over in village school.
Well, the big boys were the ones, you know, the ones that were 5 years older than me, the Bob and my brother, Bob, and a couple of Holmbeck.
Erling Holmbeck,
and then one of Andrew.
Andrew,
they were just holy devils. One time we had three teachers in 1 year, Miss Lee and then Miss Canary and then Mrs. Highland. Well, she straightened them up, but I remember when...
Well, Leo's dad knew her from way back, and Bob was over there, and he says, how's Minnie? And he says, Minnie, hell, she's a whale. She picked him up and sat him down.
Came up by his ears.
Yeah.
Well, those kids behaved. It came close to the end of the year and they had to go to Clinton to write the
exam.
And she was talking about that to Buddy Holmbeck, Andrew, or Buddy. And he said, well, he wasn't going to the picnic. I said, what do you mean you're not going? She said, well, I wouldn't pass it anyway. She said, well, you're going, and you're going to pass it by. And she told him what he was going to pass it by to. And she drilled him. She'd get hold of his ear. You know, when did Columbus discover America? He wouldn't have the slightest idea. About the second time around, he usually thought of it. But he passed the exams.
I remember Ann Vinn, Mrs. Akery, and she went into this school, you know, and they told that she let those boys run wild for a half a day, and then she clued in on them. But they'd go up and turn the bell on the steeple on the top of the school, turn it upside down so it wouldn't ring. But they did everything to her. But I remember them saying that she took Bob Maxworthy and sat him on her lap for, I don't know how long it was, but she didn't have to sit kids on her lap very long before they straightened out. But I think...
Kill them with kindness,
yeah,
huh?
Well, it wasn't kindness.
I know that. It was embarrassing.
But Bob Thomas was the most agile one of the bunch, and so if there was anything that needed to be done on the roof of the schoolhouse, they'd shinny him up there to do it.
I remember Art talked Russ into taking the pig's tail.
Oh, I remember that.
Well, that sounds like a story. Let's hear it.
Go ahead.
Mark started it. And he hooked it. He was to hook it on Aunt Min's dress as she walked by.
Where did he get it?
Art had butchered.
What did he butcher?
And she was...
Who was just awful, did you say?
Big boys in big Zilly boys. School.
The big boys in Zilly School were just awful. Okay.
They just come.
And Mrs. Who had just come?
Highland.
Mrs. Highland. Okay.
Mrs. Akery. But my story is that they had been awful up to this time, and they'd gotten rid of three teachers just with their things that they did. And the story I had was when Mrs. Highland and Mrs. Highland got there, Phil said, John said to Phil, she means business.
That's right.
And that's all that was said.
And they were straight.
And it was business. Because they didn't know how to behave. They just didn't do it.
And then
they were properly inspired.
Marie Applegate?
Yeah.
She was the county superintendent of schools.
No. She was the, Mr. Longbaum.
Was
the superintendent.
She was a music teacher.
She was a supervising teacher.
Yeah.
But then she got to be superintendent.
Okay. And anyhow, she would always do these very demonstrative writings on the board, and they would be so descriptive. Gene was helping Byron get it, you know, so that he'd know what was going on. And all Jean would write on her paper was, ain't she fat? And Byron came home and told Mother, and Mother wasn't pleased.
I'll bet Hazel heard about that.
Maybe so.
Those old party lines.
Yep. Oh, weren't they wonderful?
Yeah. You learned a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we had a party line when Richard was in law school up in Oregon, Wisconsin, so I got to know a whole lot of new people on the party line. That was in the 1940s.
Boy, that late they had a party line.
In Oregon, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember the house you lived in.
The doll house.
Yeah. Still there.
Yeah.
Both Dad and Trevor were born in Oregon.
Yeah, I guess I knew that.
Yeah, you pass the house when you go through on that main road there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On the main street through town? Main street?
Yeah, it's beyond the downtown, and it's on the
Angel
street
left. Goes downtown, and then it becomes Main Street to go out.
Well, as you're going on up to Madison, it's on the second half of the town.
On the left or the right?
On the left. Mm-hmm. I've got pictures of it. Every time we'd go by going up to Madison, we'd point it out. There's where Daddy was born.
Jack, if you'll excuse me, I really must run. The next time we do this, could we have a potluck?
Why don't we have a potluck in the fall? Would you like that?
I'd love it.
I feel guilty.
And in the meantime,
this is such a great bunch of people.
Go home and dig out your pictures.
Yeah, let's bring pictures next time.
I've
got some pictures. Let me just look and see.
You got a picture of all your kids on Clovis porch when they started it?
I don't know. When Russ called me, I looked for something, but I couldn't find a Dean in there. So. I had a...
Here's a picture of W.J.
Here's a picture of people at the cabin, all sitting in a row on a bench, and with the upright things there.
Oh, yeah.
Would you save them till the next time?
Okay.
All right.
Here's Roy and Fanny in front of the Y...
Fireplace.
Yeah.
I got good memories of that. We were sitting there, and squatted down as that we built the new one. I squatted down above the fireplace and I lost my balance and fell back inside of where it was going. Well, you talk about coming bailing me out. But it was down low enough. I didn't get burned or anything, but
that's right.
The fireplace is on the outside.
Yeah, I know it. I don't know.
Well, I'll bring these cabins.
No, it's on the inside.
Not on the inside there.
Are you going on a different trip?
Oh, yeah, okay, that's, yeah, it was more on the outside.